Antarctica's endless snow and ice has attracted explorers from around the world. The fascinating history of Antarctica can now be found in a book called Antarctica, a Biography. The book by Australian historian and author David Days is all about human feats of endeavour, explorers and nations in hot competition to claim the land. Annie Haspel asked him what interested him in the idea of doing what he calls a biography of Antarctica.
Well, I've always been interested in how societies claim territories that they happen to inhabit, because we all come from somewhere else. Wherever you look, people have come from somewhere else and claimed land. And I'm interested in that process, which is a long-term, perhaps never-ending process of claiming land.
What ways over the years have the different countries tried to establish their ownership of the land?
All sorts of weird ways. You know, the Norwegians were fond of erecting huts, and they would put supplies in there because they dominated the whaling industry down there, and they would put supplies in case one of their whaling ships foundered and the crew fetched up on shore. Raising a flag was a general way that people did it, you know, the Japanese, the Americans. But then, of course, once they got aircraft down there, they actually didn't often land on the continent itself. So they simply threw their flags out of the windows of the plane and claimed it on that basis. And the flag would sort of land on the ice. In a way, they weren't raising the flag, they were dropping the flag.
But everyone wanted a little piece of it, really.
They
and still do.
But they didn't quite know why. Originally it was the seals, but then there were no great populations of seals on Antarctica itself. Then it was the whales in the surrounding waters. But then as soon as they got whaling ships that could kill and process the whales without landing on shore, it didn't matter about the continent. You just needed the freedom to operate in the seas. And that was all international waters, so that wasn't a problem. But then after the Second World War, it became of strategic importance. People needed to be in Antarctica in order to calculate the exact shape of the world.
And then, of course, the minerals and the oil became, and still are, a feature.
Yeah, people always talked about minerals, and they found traces of copper and supposedly huge deposits of coal. But, of course, it would never be economic to mine coal down there unless the rest of the world was absolutely devoid of coal. But what is economic and what has become economic is the possibility of oil beneath the surrounding seas.
At the moment, it seems that the world has kind of agreed that we all own it. But do you see any country dominating now or in the future?
Well, we haven't agreed that we all own it. There is a regime in place under the Antarctic Treaty whereby the nations that are involved down there sign up to the treaty and its obligations and its restrictions. And that works really well. But there are people who are outside the treaty, which is a great bulk of the nations, because the only people who can sign up to the treaty are those who have bases down there and have scientific programs in place. All the other people, all the other nations outside of it, of course, look longingly at Antarctica and the possible wealth down there and call for it to be made the common property of mankind, or the common heritage of mankind, which sounds all very well, but it means it would be open slather for any nation to go down and start drilling for oil. So what needs to be done, in my view, is for it instead, while the treaty is in place and people are cooperating, instead to move towards a situation where it's regarded and declared as a World Heritage Area, as a world park, so that it is safe from mining and exploitation forever.
Do you hope your book leads to people thinking that in that way?
I hope so. Well, I hope it makes them realise that the territorial claims that are in place have no validity, and that they really need to move beyond that. Australia really needs to renounce the fact that it has a claim to 42% of the continent, and realise that if in a court of law that would never be upheld.